Okay. Yeah, see how it's important to have a piano player. I just changes the whole thing of the music, you know.
Yeah.
And I enjoy having a piano player. I enjoy our singing. Really, Lord gave me some. It's kind of, I had no clue. I haven't talked to the pastor, I think maybe once yesterday, but we don't discuss what the Lord has given each one of us to preach or whatever. And I thank God. He's on a roll about this believing thing. I'm just telling you, there's some things people need to start believing. My message is, does one believe the verses or simply know the verses? And there's a difference. There's a difference in knowing them verses and believing them verses. And so I'm going to show you through the Bible that believing these verses is going to give you a different outcome in your life rather than just knowing them. You can know a verse all day long. It's not going to do a thing to you. I mean, I know a lot about maybe getting out there and by seeing people and talking to people. My father used to be a truck driver, a big truck driver like Bob. I know a lot about it, but I can't get out there and do it.
Amen.
You see the difference in that? And that's a lot of people know these verses, but it does nothing for their life. It's no good to them because they don't believe them. And so I want to show you that the Lord gave me that this morning. And when I heard Pastor preaching on the belief, thank you, buddy. You know, so many people out there today, just they don't believe in God. They can say they do. I was coming to church. I was under the assumption at one point in time that I was saved and everything else. But I knew in my heart that I just did not believe in God. And it took, you know, going to RU and such and just seeing and hearing the things that went on to realize I don't have what they have. I don't have that belief. I don't have what's going on there. And I knew that I was lost. And so many people today, they're being dealt with by this prayer. They're being dealt with by the easy believism and the Romans Road. And they don't even believe in a God. They have no clue. And, with, you know, the law is a schoolmaster to bring you up from the law unto your faith in Jesus Christ. That's what the schoolmaster is for. It's that one that's going to bring you from the law. You have to know. You have to agree with Moses. You have to know that God's righteous judgment, that Old Testament, and his law is true and it's right. And you have to understand that before you can understand that you're even lost. And that's why the schoolmaster's that. That's why the law is that schoolmaster to bring you from that law unto the faith in Jesus Christ. And that's just, you know, that takes a while. For me, it took about 3.5 years for me to really be have that. And God knew what it was going to take for me, though. God knew what it would be for a pastor. He knew what it would be for Ruth Ann. And he knew what it was going to be for my wife. You see, he knows that for everybody. But everybody wants everybody to get saved on the same level, and it's not going to happen. God has to deal with each individual with their individual things. Now, we may have had some things in our life that we've done the same, but that's not the core. You see, the lady with the issue of blood went to Jesus with the issue, but he ended up showing her plague. That's where he ended up healing. And so many people will come to church with issues, but they don't understand that plague that's buried way down inside. That very important thing that God's trying to get them to see that thing. So why? So he can heal it. That's what he wants to do. He wants to heal it. So anyway, Job 33, and you guys, I'm just going to say this. I don't mean to be funny, but Job 33, 27 through 30, you guys know these verses. But let me show you the difference between you knowing them and you really believing them. So we're going to go to Job 33, 27, and I'm going to read 27 through 30, the book of Job, 33, 27 through 30. It says, he looketh upon men and saith, if any say, I have sinned and perverted that which was right, and it profited me not. He will deliver his soul from going into the pit, and his life shall see the light. Thank you, Zane. Lo, all these things worketh God oft times with men, to bring back his soul from the pit, to enlighten with the light of the living. Do you believe these verses, or do you just know these verses? The proof will be where you stand with God, and your life will reflect it. In verse 30, it shows what will be the outcome of our lives for those who believe. Verse 30 says, to bring back his soul from the pit, to enlighten with the light of the living. You understand? Listen, God's looking down from heaven, and he's looking to see if anybody would have, I would have sin. We all say that somebody has come up to us, and they've led us through the Romans road and say, yes, we have sinned. But he goes farther than that. God wants to know.
He wants to know. He says, if any have sinned and perverted that which was right. Well, what's right?
And each and every person would stand here, sitting here today and say, well, this is right for me, and this is right for... But they don't understand it. He's talking about the law. It's the law of God, that's a right thing. Have you ever perverted God's law? Have you ever broken any of God's law? Have you perverted that thing which is right? God's law is right, not our law. God's law is right. And he's trying to get somebody to get beyond the point of just saying that I'm a sinner. He's trying to get them to really see that they have perverted, which is right. Well, what do you mean with God's law? That's the right thing. That's the God wrote that law. But also knowing that we couldn't live by that law. And see, a person has to see that. They don't see that. They're just going to continue going on. And it says, all that call upon the name of the Lord, Jesus Christ, shall be saved. They're not going to walk around being a saved person. Why? Because they don't believe they perverted anything which is right. They don't believe that they've really sinned against God. They believe. You ask every single person, and for a long time I struggled with this before salvation. I struggled with it. I sinned against people. I was under the assumption that I sinned against people. I was not under the understanding that I was perverting God's law, that I was sinning against them. I may do you wrong, but I don't sin against you. I sin against God. And it took a long time for God to get that out of me and for me to be able to see that. And I'm just telling you now, without that, a person is not going to get saved. They don't understand it. That Romans road and prayers and all that will not show you that. It will not bring you to where God is trying to show you about yourself. It just doesn't do it. Especially for somebody like me. I was talking to the pastor last week. I said, you know, I have a pretty rough story. I have a pretty rough life that I had. I said, but the things that are going on today make me look like I had an easy life. The things that people are going through today make it look like that I had an easy life compared to the stuff they're going through. Now, how are you going to get that person to see that they're a sinner and perverted that which was right, and it did them no good, and it profited them not? It just did them no good. They don't see that. They think they're okay. They think they're still doing good. They're going to go out, they're going to go out there and drink and drug and go out there and fornicate and commit adultery and pierce everything and tattoo everything because they believe that they are okay. They believe that their life is profiting them. How many are sitting in this church today with that very same thing going on in their life? You know that verse. You could probably quote it out of your head. But you see, if you go farther on past 27 and 28, if you go on to verse 29, it says, well, all these things worketh God ofttimes with man. Where does it say God? Where does it say man works ofttimes with man? Does not say that. It said God works all times with man. He's trying to bring you to show you that. He's trying to get you to be awakened to that thing. But what happens? Man steps in, and man tries to put in what they think, what they believe. And what's it do? It distorts everything. It gets these people to walk around like a twofold child of hell. It gets them nowhere. There's no deliverance in their life whatsoever.
Let me go on here. Verse 28 makes it clear that if a person sees the way God does and believes it, he will deliver his soul from going into the pit, and his life shall see the light.
You understand? If you can agree with God and see things the way God wants you to see it, you're going to be delivered from the pit. You're going to be saved. You'll walk in that light. You're going to turn away from that darkness. You're going to repent. You're going to turn away from that darkness that you walked in, and you're going to start heading towards that light. Something's going to happen in your life. There's something that's going to move you. There's going to be a different drive in your life. Your desires are going to be different. The way you think is going to change. It's not going to stay the same.
Amen.
It cannot happen.
Why? Because the Word of God is quick. It's powerful. It makes you alive. This thing is alive. And I'm just telling you, when that Word of God starts getting in there, it starts motivating you to do some things. And you know what it motivates you to do?
Motivates you to do the opposite of what you've always done, and that's walk for you.
He comes in, and when he starts coming in, that's the 2 Corinthians 5:17. That thing is, listen, it's a continual process. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things become new.
He starts replacing that old stuff with new stuff from Him. Why? Because He calls us to separation. He calls us to holiness. He says, be holy, for I am holy. What do you do with those verses, people? I'm just saying, what do you do with them verses?
There's a difference between knowing these verses and believing them. If you believe a verse, you'll start living them.
If you really honestly believe these verses in this Bible, you will start living them. So you can know all the verses you want. There's people who could probably quote that Bible better than me. And that's all they do is know that verse, but they have no clue how to live that verse. None. Not an inkling of it.
And that's the difference. There's a difference. 2 Corinthians 4, 3 through 6 says, explains to us this light. Verse 3, but if our gospel be hid, is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of this glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts, to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Verse 4 says, this is to those who believe not. There is a difference between believing and knowing. The devil has got your minds blinded. Why? Because you're not a believer. You just don't believe. And God may be working with you today. He may be sitting here, and amongst in these pews, there's people who say they believe, but just do not believe. God wants people to see that your mind has been blinded by the God.
Listen, there's going to be a light. If you go back and look at Job 33:27, verse 28, he says, he will deliver a soul from going into the pit, and his life shall see the light. You're going to see the light. What's that? You're going to see the gospel light. So what it just said here in 2 Corinthians, it says, but if our gospel be hid, it's hid to them that are lost. Why is it hid to them that are lost? Because in the God of this world, who hath blinded the minds of them who believe not. Who believe not. You can know a verse. You can know this Bible. But it doesn't mean you believe it. And it's going to show in your life. Why? Because you're going to walk away from the darkness. That's two verses already that says you're going to start heading for the light. You're going to start living in the light. You're going to get out of that darkness, and you're going to start turning away from that, and you're going to start getting into the light. This is proof that you believe the Bible. This is proof that you believe what it's saying, because your life is going to leave darkness and start heading for that light. Why? Because it shines on the darkness of your heart. You have a dark heart. Jeremiah explains it to us, how dirty and rotten our hearts are. Well, what's the only thing that's going to expose that? God. His light. The Bible. The Word. Well, how does it happen? It's by believing it. Believing. I don't want to jump ahead of myself. But he says here, there's a difference between believing and knowing. You see, in verse 4, the gospel light has to shine on the mind. Verse 6 says it has to shine on the heart. This is what it takes for one to believe. God didn't leave one out without the other. He said the gospel light has to shine on your mind. Why? Because the devil's trying to blind it. It also has to shine on your heart. Why? Because God's the only one who truly knows your heart. That gospel light has to shine so he can expose it and you can see it. The devil here is attacking your minds, attacking your thoughts. Your heart's already wicked. He don't have to attack that thing. It agrees with the devil. So God says that we got to shine that light on their what? On their hearts. So we have to shine that light on their minds. Why? So they can see and start believing. That's what it took. It took God to start shining that light on my heart. It took Him to start shining that light on my mind. Why? So that I could finally see for once in my life what I really am. And once it started shining, I started believing. Oh my goodness. But I'm just telling you, people, you can't walk up to a person today and say, hey, here's this verse, such and such, and say, oh, I know that verse, do you? Let's take a look at your life. There's a difference in knowing a verse and believing a verse. I'm telling you now. If you believe what this Bible says, you will live what it says. Why? Because it's God. He's exposing that thing to you. He's bringing the light to what you are. He's bringing the light to that corrupt heart that you have. He's bringing light to that corrupt mind that you have. And as you know what's going to make you do? It's going to make you believe. I can sit here and testify today. I woke up yesterday morning. I just could not believe the situation that I was in. Everything was messed up. Depressed, discouraged, ready to give up. I said, Lord, I can't keep this family afloat anymore. For 2 years, I strived and I struggled just to do it. I said, I can't do it anymore. He said, that's the problem. I didn't believe God was going to take care of my family. I gathered my family up and said, we're going to pray. We held hands and we prayed. I just believe the Lord got in that prayer. And I believe He encouraged us in that prayer. And then He gave me some verses, and I sat down and I read it to my family. We sat at the table. I gave a little message to my family. I said, this is what we're going to do. These are the verses the Lord gave us. I said, now there's a difference between us believing them and knowing them. I said, are you ready to believe? You ready to believe, Amy? I'm just telling you right now, a peace came over me and my family second to none. A comfort. A knowing that I was in the hands of my Father, that no matter what happens, it's okay. He has us. I struggle with this belief thing. I believe God could save me for salvation, but I couldn't believe that He could take care of my family. How long have I been destroying our family financially with thinking that I can handle it, Amy?
I'm just telling you now, it's the truth. I did not believe God could take care of my family. And you know what? My family has paid a price for that because of my unbelief.
You ain't got to believe it. I'm living proof of it. And I thank God that He's taking the time to teach my family how to believe. How to trust Him for once. How to stop relying on ourselves.
And I'm going to tell you, He says, come unto me, all you that are, all you that are, heavy laden.
He says, come unto me, and He'll give you rest. He says, for my yoke is easy, my burden is light. But He did not say He was going to take away that yoke. But we're going to be in that yoke with Him. And I believe we finally stepped in that yoke with Jesus Christ yesterday, Pastor.
Amen. You know what it did? It got a little lighter for us. Broke is broken beat, just about zero on our bank account. But we're not stressed up one bit about it. Amen. Not worried about it. Whatever's going to happen is going to happen. Amy looks at me, she goes, there's nothing we can do about it. I said, no, we can just trust the Lord and believe that He's going to take care of us. And we believe that. I slept great. Well, I almost slept great. I was more worried about my wife. I think her health is going away. I think she needs to go to the doctors and get checked out. I told her there's more than just you who care about you. So I'm worried about my wife all night long last night. So it's the truth. Ask me, she'll tell you.
Just worry. I love my wife. I don't want nothing to happen to her.
But I said, it got real easy for us yesterday. Had a great day. Went over to John and Sharon's and ate dinner. And, got to share some verses with them. The same exact verse. Why? Because I'm excited about what God showed me. Because I'm going to believe Him. I'm going to believe God. I'm going to believe His verses. He said, I'm His son. He's going to take care of me. He said, His supplier need singular. He already took care of the biggest need with salvation.
Amen.
Then I went on to Matthew 6:33 and so on, where it says, seek ye first the kingdom of God, His righteousness, and all these things should be added unto you. But you got to go and understand what He's talking about before that, how the lilies of the field are they're clothed, and how the birds are fed and all that. He goes, well, you know what it says? Well, won't He take care of you like that? You're His child. Yeah, He'll take care of us like that. Did I believe it? No, I did not. You know, I had to get on my face and confess to my Father, Lord, I just did not believe You, and I'm sorry for doing what I've done for all these years, because I did not trust You to take care of my family.
That's what I had to do. 1 John 1:9. Anything that is not faith is sin. I sinned against my Father, and I got all out of whack. Proverbs 3:5-6. Again, you guys know this verse. But it says, trust in the Lord with some of your heart.
With all your heart. Then what's the very next part? Because He knows the first thing you're going to do. Lean not on your own understanding. I woke up yesterday leaning on my own understanding again. And guess what? Almost failed again. Acknowledge Him in all thy ways. Matthew 6:33. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Doesn't that say that we need to put Him first? Both of those, acknowledge Him, and He'll direct thy path. He will do it? Do you believe it? That's what it comes down to. I don't care how many of the verses you know. My Sunday school class, very impressed how much they learned those verses. I am. But there's a difference between knowing them and believing them. Do you believe it?
I'm just telling you, there's the difference.
Psalm 51, verses 16 and 17. Yes, I'm hitting on all the verses you know, but I'm showing you the difference between you knowing them and believing them. Psalm 51, 16 and 17 says, "For thou desirest not a sacrifice." Excuse me, not sacrifice. "Else I would give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. O God, thou wilt not despise." Verse 16 is clear that God does not want or accept our works for salvation. He desires what the Holy Ghost brings a person to, a broken spirit and a broken and contrite heart.
He's not worried about what little sacrifice you think you're giving for your salvation. He wants you to allow the Holy Ghost to bring you to a place where you have a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. Like the lady with the issue of blood, she may have had a broken spirit, even a broken heart. But Jesus Christ had to show her a place of contrition where she understood and was sorry for being a lawbreaker, for sinning against God, before she could ever come to that place of contrition. I'm telling you now, when God showed me, finally, for the first time in my life, that I was able to see and agree with Him for the first time of what I really was, that brought me to a place of contrition very quickly. Because I knew, oh my Lord, I've been doing this for all these years. I didn't just have a broken spirit and a broken heart that night I got saved. I had a place of contrition, and it brought me to a place of repentance where I understood for the first time in my life.
You can't get a person to come here, though. It says that as the woman who came to Jesus with the issue of blood, Jesus showed her more than her issues. It brought her to have a broken spirit and a broken heart. She did all she could and tried all else, and it all failed. Her works were in vain. You read, you can see her heart and her spirit were broken. And then Jesus had to show her a plague, and she had to see it before it came to a place of contrition to repentance. These, O God, will I not despise. When God shows you an issue, He's not done. He's just trying to get you to see the plague. It's only the beginnings. Oh, I see it now, Lord. Let me run to the altar. No. He's not done yet. He's glad you see that. But He's trying to get deeper. It's going to be more painful than, oh, I see it, Lord. No. You'll know when you see it.
You'll know when you see more than just that issue. You'll understand when He shows you that plague. You won't have a problem being contrite. Amen. I can guarantee you that.
You just won't have a problem. So when God shows you an issue, good. Confess it to Him. Get away from it. But you'll know when He brings you to that place of contrition. You'll know when that plague comes up. And you'll see that thing and go, oh my goodness. That's what He's trying to do.
Do you believe these verses? Or do you just know them? There's a difference in it. Just telling you there's a difference in it. Let me just keep going. He's trying to get you to see the plague. Do you believe these verses or know it? I repeat myself a lot. Mark 1, verses 14 and 15. Mark 1, verses 14 and 15. I went right past it. Mark 1, verses 14 and 15. Here we go. It says, "Now after that John was in prison, Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God and saying, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel." You see that? Many people are brought through a Romans road, but they don't believe the gospel. He says, you need to repent. That means you're going to have to change your thinking, and it comes quickly, very quickly, when you repent. Something happens very quickly. And then it says, believe the gospel. Many people are not even being brought the gospel anymore. They're just bringing something man has made up. What is the gospel, they say?
They have no clue what the gospel is. So how are they going to believe it if they don't know it?
So here it says, we see Jesus, he's preaching the gospel. He commands all to repent and believe the gospel.
All to believe the gospel. How many of you in here today believe the gospel? How many of you believe, not just know it? I know you understand the stories of Jesus and all that stuff, and you can relate it to Christmas, and you can relate it to this and relate it to that. No. Listen, it goes a whole lot deeper than that. Listen to me. When you believe this Bible, when you believe this living book, when you believe this thing, it grips the inside of you so, listen to me, it grips the inside of you so that you have no choice but to follow what it says. But like I told my Sunday school this morning, it's not a grievance. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says he takes old things out, right? New things come in. You know when it's hard to change things? When you fight it. Otherwise, it's not a grief to me to get things out of my life when I see it the way God shows me. I understand it, so therefore it goes. It becomes a grief when I fight it. With this thing here, it's going to happen. It's going to show you. It's going to divide you. It's going to show you what you're doing. It's going to show you what you're all about. Do you believe it? Oh, boy, show me that. That can't be me. Oh, yeah, it can be you. Trust me, I tried to play that game before I got saved. Oh, that ain't me. God pounded on that for a few times and said, you're right, that's me. You're right, I'm guilty. I remember Amy would see me just writhing in absolute misery of the things God was showing me about myself. And did I just blow it off? No, I'd get on my face and ask him, please, I'm so sorry. But that was only an issue. I didn't get to the plague yet. Just telling you. But that's what it took for God to break me. For me to finally be able to see and believe and understand what he's been trying to work with me. He's been striving with me. He's been trying to show me all these times, you know. And I say, yes, I believe your word. Then where's the fruit of that? Where's the fruit of you believing his word? There will be fruit. Jesus said there will be. You're gonna. Let me read, go here. I just read, many get caught up with this verse, Romans 10:13. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But it doesn't stop here. We see in Romans 14, it says, how shall they call on him who they have not believed? Jesus said in Mark 1:15, repent and believe in the gospel. You must turn from your way to God's way and your way of thinking, and you must believe the gospel, or you cannot call on Jesus Christ for salvation. You have not seen your perversion of all that is good, or come to a place of contrition, which leads to a place of repentance. You cannot call on Jesus Christ for salvation because you do not believe. You do not believe. If you believe, I told somebody this last week, if I grow an apple tree and lemons start coming on there, there's something wrong. You tell me you have salvation and you don't have the fruits meet for repentance, then you just don't have it.
Amen.
It's okay to agree with God with it, because then he can deal with you. Then finally he can say, all right, now we got to that. And that wasn't even an issue yet. He's just trying to get you to see that you're lost. Getting a person to even see they're lost. Some believe they're saved. They have no fruit, no fruit of repentance, no nothing. They can't even see they're lost. Why? Because they don't believe his word. Oh, yeah, I believe it. Mm-hmm. I can tell by your lifestyle. You sure do. You convince me not. I'm just telling you. I know a lot of people since I've been saved. And true Bible salvation has wrought change in these people's lives. The ones who are claiming salvation and there's no change, I have a problem. I can't accept that. I won't accept it for one reason, because the Bible tells me you're a liar. Just telling you. That's why I don't believe it. I don't believe a lot of people are saved. And I don't. I just don't. there's going to be a change.
Right.
These verses that he puts in there are not just to tickle your fancy for you to know and learn in Sunday school. They're there for you to believe and live.
I believe that's why he gave us the Bible, because obviously we don't know better enough to live a Christian life. It takes him to tell us.
If I knew how to live my life, why do I have a 17-page rap sheet? Why was I an alcoholic for all those years and a drug addict?
Why would I get saved and still have to ruin my life? It's obvious that I couldn't do it before. After salvation, he's not going to leave me to do it now. I'm his child. Could you imagine if I just let Luke and Autumn do whatever they wanted?
They're my children, but I'm not going to let them go out there and get away with a bunch of nonsense. I'm going to correct them. Why? Because I love them. I want them to do the right thing. I'm just telling you now, a saved person, you're not going to stay in the same condition you have been. It's not going to happen. It's impossible.
Why? I can ask you guys this, and most of you will raise your hands. You believe God is all-powerful and almighty? Good. Then he's dwelling in you. Why don't you change him?
Oh, is he that weak? I'm sorry, you got the wrong God. My bad. Sorry. You don't have the God of this Bible.
Amen.
I'm just telling you. Please understand me this. The only reason why I know these things is because I live it. It goes on in my life. It is my testimony. It is what's going on in my wife's life. It is her testimony. You are going to change.
Why would he have to go to a cross to leave me the same person I've always been? Can you explain that to me? That's all I want to know. You explain to me why he had to go on a cross. Is that after I got salvation, I was going to stay the same person I've always been?
I can't believe it. I'm sorry. And that's between you and God. It's not me to judge you on that. I'm just telling you. There's a whole lot of difference between knowing the Word of God and believing the Word of God. It says here, which leads to repentance, Luke 13:3. It says, I tell you nay, but except you repent, you shall likewise perish. You have to repent. It's mandatory. He says, if you don't repent, you're going to perish. So what do you do with that verse if you're not repenting? If nothing is changing in your life and you're not doing what this Bible says, but you say you believe it and there's no repentance, tell me what you think Jesus just said is going to happen to you. You're going to perish. That's all there is to it. I didn't say that. That's this book that you believe you say. I'm telling you, if more people who say they believe in the Word of God really believed in the Word of God, there'd be a whole lot of different lives.
I'm telling you. 2 Corinthians 7:9-10 says, it makes it clear. Let me turn there. 2 Corinthians 7. And I'm trying to hurry up and finish, but I just don't want to miss some of the important stuff. 2 Corinthians 7, we're going to go verses 9 and 10.
It says, now rejoice not you that you were made sorry, but there's your sorrow to repentance. You see that?
When God is working in you, when God is showing you things and you start believing in his word, there's going to come sorrow. Why? Because he's showing you what you really are. It was not a joy for me to see what I was. It was not a joy. It says that you're going to sorrow. But that you sorrow for repentance. For you were made sorry after a godly manner, that you might receive damage by us in nothing. For godly sorrow worketh repentance to what? Salvation. Not to be repented of, but the sorrow of this world worketh death. Do you understand? If you believe the word of God, it's going to bring you to a place of sorrow, godly sorrow. Why? Because you're seeing yourself the way God sees you. I'm sorry, but when I see that, I don't feel good about it. But I know that it brings me to a place of repentance because I understand, my God, that's been me, and I'm sorry, Lord. I'm just telling you now, yesterday when God opened my eyes to how I've been living and how I've been doing things, I really repented.
And it brought up, didn't it not bring sorrow? Was I not crying yesterday? Was I not upset yesterday? Why? Because I was full of joy that the Lord showed me something? No, because he showed me something about myself and I had to accept it and understand it, and it brought me to a place of repentance. I'm not doing it that way anymore, Lord. I'm not doing it this way. All it did is bring damage to my family. The sorrow of this world worketh death. That's what these people have. The sorrow. They don't have godly sorrow.
They're missing it out. They're falling for this godly, for this worldly sorrow that's bringing them death. They're missing it.
But they believe in the Bible. I just have a hard time with that. God's word will make you see the need for repentance. He says, now I rejoice, not that you were made sorry. It's not an easy thing. I remember Pastor used to tell me sometimes, he sees me going through it. He said, I wish I could take that from you, but I know you need to go through it. And that's what Paul's saying. I'm sorry that you had to be made sorrowful, but you need to go through it. You have to go. You got to. And you know, I told my Sunday school this morning some of the issues that were going on. I said, I get to sit there and pray, God, please take us out of this. But I know we need to go through this. So Lord, don't get us out of this. Just get us through it. Help us to believe that you can get us through it. You got to go through the godly sorrow for repentance. It says that it will work repentance to salvation. You're going to repent before salvation. You're going to see, oh, whoa. Okay? You're going to have to. Hurtful. Then with repentance bring saving faith, which comes from Jesus. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. If I had saving faith, I would never need Jesus Christ. I could boast of myself because I just saved myself. He says that's why you can't boast, because it's not your faith, it's Jesus. What is the gift of God? Jesus' saving faith. Again, we see that his faith does not come by our works. And I want to get to this verse here, and where did I find it? Here we go. I'm going to skip down. Here we go. Jesus says in Acts 26, 18, to open their eyes, to turn them from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins, and the inheritance among them which are sanctified, ready? By faith that is in me. Where's that faith coming from? Jesus said it twice. Coming from him. You're going to be sanctified by the faith that is in Jesus Christ, not your faith.
Right.
Your faith can't sanctify you. Acts 26, Jesus is talking there. He said it's going to be his faith that sanctifies you. His faith is going to set you apart. He asks us to believe. He asks us to have a faith of a mustard seed. He'll take care of the rest. He'll take care of the rest. I can't have saving faith. Jesus Christ had to give that to me. It was a miracle. I couldn't conjure that up in myself. And if I could, then I wouldn't have needed him. Because then I would have did it myself. Here it says, and I'm going to close with this. Jesus Christ, it's his faith that he gives to us. Here's what happens when we get Jesus Christ's faith. Here's the result of having saving faith. Our eyes are open. We turn from darkness to light. Haven't we seen that from the beginning? How you turn from darkness to light. And from the power of Satan unto God. Why? Because we've received forgiveness of sins. And the inheritance among which we are sanctified by the faith that is in Jesus Christ. Do you see what happens when a person really believes and has faith in Jesus Christ? What happens to them? Their eyes are opened. They're moved from darkness to light. So a change goes on. Something happens. This person starts moving in a different direction. Repentance happens. And they're going to go from going their way. When they see it and understand it, they're going to turn and they're going to go a total opposite way. They are not going to stay going the same way. It's not going to leave you in that condition. Jesus Christ is not going to leave you in that condition.
When you are His, listen, it says you're bought with a price. His own shed blood on Calvary bought you. Do you think that that's no faith? Do you take that as a light thing? You must take that light. It must not mean nothing to you. What, ladies, what about the suffering you went through to have your children? Was that a light thing for you to go through? Jesus Christ bought us with His blood. His shed blood on Calvary. For us, look at your life. Look at the, here, I'll just make it easy for you. Go ahead and look at the last 12 hours of your filth. Go ahead and look at the last 24 hours of your life. And you tell me, do you think it was a light thing for Jesus Christ to shed His blood for you? And you take that as light? I don't believe you believe the Word of God then. I just have a hard time with that. And I'm going to leave you with this. 1 Peter 23 through 25 says, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the Word of God. You cannot be saved unless you believe the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is of grass, and all the glory of man is the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower therefore falleth away. You ready? But the word of the Lord endureth forever. The ETH, you all know that means it continues forever. It'll never stop. Listen, if you can't believe this word now, you'll never believe it. Because you know why? It's going to be forever. His word endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel. Remember, you got to believe the gospel. That's what it said. You got to believe the word of God. Why? Because that's how you're born again. By the word of God. Jesus Christ, the word of God, which endureth forever. Listen to me. If you cannot believe the word of God, who is the word of God? John 1:14 says that Jesus Christ, the word, was made flesh. Don't tell me you believe this. Don't tell me you believe this word of God. Don't tell me that you believe Jesus Christ, because Jesus is the word of God. And you know what he says? And I'm going to close with this. If you love me, keep my... He says two things. If you love me, keep my words. If you love me, keep my commandments. Amen. I'm just going to hold this up because this is where it's at right here. Do you really believe it or do you just know it? There will be a difference in your life if you believe it.
That's right.
There will be. Unless Jesus is that weak and he can't control you. And I'm done, Pastor.